Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
30-16 Ravens over the Bears today, and we found out the answer to one question today. Is it sustainable to maintain on defense all those takeaways? And the answer to that question is a resounding no.
A big zero. And, you know, with Kyler Gordon out and Tyrick Stevenson out, you know, the secondary had been playing excellent football. Well, guess what? That meant the defensive front. The seven guys up front needed to be more violent, destructive, create opportunity. No,
invisible. You couldn't find them, Dan.
No, invisible. Invisible. And both of the linebackers were just awful. I mean, awful. T.J. Edwards and Trumaine Edmonds, the worst game I have seen them play in 3 years, right when you need it, right when you expect it. But let's get to the offense, because we opened the game with two excellent drives down into the red zone, and then, of course, poof, we can't score. We had to kick field goals. And then from that point on, it was a comedy of errors.
Danny, that's when we should have really put the hammer to them. And again, going down into Baltimore, I keep saying this again. I don't know how many teams, 1-5, 1-6 teams we're going to play. Every team we play the next week is god awful. We went down there. We were healthy. We were ready to go. And boy, I'm going to tell you, who didn't show up? Obviously, Danny, if you take a real hard look at it, in my book, who didn't show up was our coaching staff. And I'll tell you, I'm getting a little disenchanted. This guy, Ben Johnson, he had all the credentials. I mean, nobody had better credentials last year than him in Detroit. Being there as the offensive coordinator, there were 9 changes in head coaches last season, and obviously the Bears one of them. And he was the number one pick, if I am to be correct here, in all 9. Everybody wanted Ben Johnson from Detroit. The Bears stepped up to the plate. They brought him in. Then you go into training camp. What have we done? Really nothing. Really nothing. You see our play? Watch our play. Look at defensively and offensively. You get most of the time, where are we ranked? 24th, 32nd, 34th on offense, defense. It's the same story, Dan. It's the same old story. Outplayed and outcoached.
30-16, the final. Ravens over the Bears. Let's get out to the fans and start out in Matteson, Illinois, and say hi to Tim. Tim, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. I've been with you guys from day one. I remember when Ken Cannon was quarterback. Well, this guy is worse. He's worse. I'm here to tell you this, you guys. Hemp, OB, you're right. He's not the answer. This was the test. Today was the test, and it didn't happen. The coaching staff, man, the coach, the head coach, he looked lost over there. You know, there was no sign of, okay, let's fight. There was no fight whatsoever. So I'm going to hang up, but there was no fight whatsoever. This quarterback is not the answer.
Thank you, Tim.
All right, guys.
Tim, you're not going to get an argument from me.
No, and quite honestly, I mean, this was the opportunity of a lifetime. New coaching staff, supposedly the future budding superstar quarterback. And here's the thing that really guts you. You know, Caleb was supposed to be the guy. The reason Ben Johnson wanted to come to Chicago is to work with Caleb. Well, guess what? Caleb, you were outplayed by a kid that was not drafted and cut 5 different times from 3 different teams, and it wasn't even close. Think about it. You know, where's your personal pride? Don't you have any compunction about trying to be the guy? You know, you look at Josh Allen, he gets in games, you can tell he's trying to not only win the game, but make it look like he's the reason why they won. And we don't get that. Why are we in a situation like this? I'll tell you why. You just hit on it. We haven't put in the work, OB, and it's all at Ben Johnson's lap. He has not prepared this team.
Absolutely correct, Dan. In my book, you're absolutely correct. When he came in here, I couldn't tell you how many times I've said it. All the different camps, whatever name they want to put to it, whatever have you. And then you go to the exhibition season. And again, I've said it, I don't know how many times, but I'll say it again. You want to know what? Because it's true. Okay, it's true. They did nothing. We're winning. We had a four-game winning streak with two of the most miracle, unbelievable wins I've ever heard of in any sport, and that includes marbles. My God. And today, going into play Baltimore, their number one quarterback is out, a kid that's been basically with six times, different teams in 5 years. He outplays our bazillion-dollar quarterback, who's supposed to be all world. We got out-coached, which is not a surprise, because Dan believes that Harbaugh is a better coach than our guy and than most coaches in the league. And I have to acquiesce to you, Dan. He did prove it again today. Yes, he did. And how the hell we could go down there and play this team against folks. That quarterback, Huntley, you saw? Folks, he's been a backup six different times, basically, with three teams. He doesn't play. And he starts today against us, coming off four wins in a row, and we go down and play a 1-5 team with a quarterback who's got to thank God every day of his life that he's in the National Football League, and he outplays us. Harbaugh outcoaches us. That's exactly what you saw today, folks, for four quarters. Outcoached and outplayed. Their quarterback outplayed our quarterback. I can't even get the words out.
All right, we'll let you get your thoughts together and stay in the city of Chicago and say hi to Bill. Bill, you're up with Half and OB. Go ahead.
Dan and OB, Caleb Williams, he's had 24 starts. When does he get better? He doesn't. He never gets better. It's the same thing week after week. If I'm Ben Johnson, I sit this guy. He needs a wake-up call. I start Tyson Badgett. This guy needs a wake-up call. He is just not getting better. Week after week, same thing over and over again.
Well, I'll tell you what, Bill. You know, you take a look at him, and I agree with what you said. And there's another thing that comes into play with the Bears. Penalties. We had 11 penalties for 79 yards today. 11 penalties. Last week, we had 10 penalties. The week before, we had 9. The week before that, we had 8. And the week before that, I believe we had 7, Andy. And I'm folks, 11 penalties, 10 penalties last week, 9 the week before, and you're supposed to win a football game, and you got a quarterback that has a slight accuracy problem, and I don't think that's up for a debate. This kid has got an accuracy problem.
There's no question the interception was god-awful. It was a second and a half late. And you know what? That is a throw you cannot make in that position on that football field. When you're down, you can't even guess and hope get it.
He was so late on that pass.
So
really,
late.
Stan.
And the safety was on the outside shoulder of Adunze. And the corner undercut it and took the pick. Awful.
All right, 312-981-7200. That's the number, 30-16. It was the Ravens over the Bears. Big thanks again to Jake Melnick's, located at 41 East Superior. Melnick's, all the game day specials. They fed us very, very well today.
Oh, it was great. It was the only highlight of the 3 hours.
Yes, it was. Sliders and wings and some brisket, mac and cheese, onion rings. It was all very, very tasty. So thanks again to Jake Melnick's, jakemelnick's.com for more information. Again, Melnick's at 41 East Superior, or visit jakemelnick's.com for more information. Ham and OB is sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. This was a tough one to come up with because there really wasn't much to hang the hat on defensively, but Nashawn Wright around the ball quite a bit.
He led the team in tackles. When your corner leads the team in tackles, you got issues.
Yeah, he had 9 tackles today, and again, the linebacking situation got no better, and
they were awful.
Yeah, there was not much pressure again on a quarterback that you could pressure and maybe change the complexion of this game. They just never got to him.
And after the first half, they got a grand total of what, 8 yards the first quarter. We go down there and stub our toe and have to kick two field goals. And we were, you know, we were rolling. Then we roll up in a ball and let them back, not only back in the game, but then from that point on, they control it. Let's get to the calls.
You know what? Just real quickly here. Everything that we're saying, in my mind, Dan, Andy, everything that we're saying is a reflection on the coaches. That's what I see. It's a reflection. You get 11 penalties. Why is that? That reflection goes right to the coaches.
312-981-7200. Let's go out to Vegas. It's Chicago Johnny joining us. Chicago Johnny, go ahead.
Guys, how you doing? Here's my thing. Penalty and field goals are not going to win football games. It's just not going to happen. And we had five false starts on penalties. That's unacceptable, guys. One more point I want to make. The four wins that we had, the total wins and losses of the teams that we played were 5-19. And we came seconds away from losing those two games. I'd like to hear what you guys are going to say about that.
All right, Johnny, thanks.
We're exactly right. I mean, and again, going into this game, John Harbaugh made an evaluation that he's going to save Lamar Jackson for Thursday night's matchup with the Dolphins. What does that mean? Well, he saw the film that we watch, that by virtue of, you know, leading the NFL in takeaways, getting 14 of them in a four-game win streak, that was the difference and the only reason why the Bears were in a position where they were able to win. And they were playing some bad teams, the Vegas team, the Saints. And yet, we get into a game against a so-called 1-5 team. Guess what? They know they're better than that, and they came out and they proved it today. And, you know, our two opening drives, I thought, hey, maybe OB's right. Maybe we will control this game and dominate it. Nope. That same old smoke and mirror Bears showed up, and without turnovers, we get our butts beat.
You know what? This kid, Huntley, you know, you got to tip your hat to him a little bit there.
Amen.
Folks, you got to – this kid, he basically hasn't played in 5 years. I mean, he's gotten a few games here or there or whatever, but he's been a backup, period, okay? My God, in 5 years he's been with like six teams, a couple of them three times or whatever I said before, three times, two times, whatever, but six different teams, and he starts a game against us. Against us, and we're coming off, and we're a 4-2 team, coming off four straight wins, and here's a quarterback who should thank God every day of his life for the rest of his playing days that he's in the National Football League. And guess what he did? We got out-coached, their coach out-coached our coach, their quarterback, Huntley, who has made – nobody knows him. He's been all over the league, okay? Nobody knows him. He outplays our quarterback, our all-world quarterback, our offensive line, their offensive line. They outplayed us. Defensively, they outplayed us. The coaches were smarter. And what it comes down to, and what I'm seeing here lately more, Danny and Andy, what I'm seeing lately more, and I'm believing more, is I'm looking more at this coaching staff. I've said it the last 3 weeks or 2 weeks, talking about the coaching staff, because it kind of jumps out at me. What? You mean to tell me they couldn't have this team? We have a healthy quarterback, healthy running backs, healthy offensive line, healthy defense, and we go down and play a 1-5 team with a quarterback who has no business being in this league, to tell you the truth, and he starts for them, and they take us down for 60 minutes, four quarters. They outplayed us. Huntley outplayed our quarterback, Williams, the all-world quarterback. Their defensive line kicked our offensive line's butt. That's what you saw today, folks. That's the reality of out-coached, outplayed at all the critical positions. Somebody tell me I'm wrong.
Sneak one more in before we have to hit our top of the hour break. Let's go out to Aurora and say hi to Jim. Jim, you're up on Happen OB. Go ahead.
Guys, maybe Johnson needs to simplify this offense for Caleb. He's trying to run a complicated offense that he ran with Jared Goff and veteran guys. loss on the progressions, and he's still running for his life after the first read. Maybe we need bigger, younger guys up front.
Jimmy, you make a great point, and you know what? There's a point where you have to kind of find a happy medium where the offense, you delete certain things to create, you know, confidence, where the quarterback plays with a certain, you know, conviction, where he's ripping the ball. And we haven't seen that from Caleb. We have not. We saw a couple of passes in the fourth quarter that, you know, were kind of, you know, decent on schedule. But at the end of the day, when you're down 14 and they're backed off, that doesn't show me anything. We need to have a lot better idea of how to make this offense work. Now,
that's got to come from the coaches, Dan.
Absolutely.
And the main guy you got to get going is our quarterback. And guess who's not going? Our quarterback is not going. Why? Because these coaches haven't taken this kid up to a higher level. That's what I see, and I agree with Jim.
Hey, look, you got me signed up with you. The one thing, Andy, is we can, you know, find fault. Where do they go from here? Your point about, you know, breaking this offense down into certain segments, even if you got to go back to the half field nonsense that they tried with Justin Fields, he needs to be able to play with more conviction and confidence. We saw it early in the game on the bootlegs, the rollouts. Where were those in the second, third, fourth quarter? I guess Ben Johnson's so smart, he doesn't think we need to continue that. At some point, he better start looking at what works, and you ride it until it's broke.
I don't understand, Danny. Where's the play action? Where is going down on a post pattern, on a hitch and go, on a fly pattern? Why? What? One? What? Twice today, Andy? Something like that? We might have tried to throw it over 20 yards, 25 yards. Folks, we're not going to win games doing that. Okay? For some reason, it jumps out at me is that there's a big problem here. There's a big problem, and I just alluded to it, what I think it is, and I think it is this coaching staff, what I would have bet against, because I thought Ben Johnson was the man to come in and straighten everything out, and boy, we're like nothing. We do nothing defensively. We do nothing offensively. I don't see any innovations, any attacking offensively, any attacking defensively from quarter to quarter, game to game, Dan. Somebody tell me I'm wrong.
I think you see flashes of some explosive plays and some really good things happen. The penalties to me is what stands out first and foremost. You know, we still have some of the pre-snap issues. There's occasional not getting lined up quite right. There's occasional not getting the motion quite right. And so that stuff it adds up and it hurts us.
Head coach Ben Johnson after the game today, a 30-16 loss to the Ravens. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers. And the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Closing in on half the season being gone, and you just listen to our head coach? You got to be kidding me.
A lot of that sounds to me like it's style over substance. You know, the cadence is wrong.
Like he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
Well, this crap should have been settled in August.
Oh, absolutely, Danny.
And the whole thing is mind-boggling when you look at it in a realistic sense that, you know, it's not me. It's not OB. It's John Harbaugh. He assessed this football team, blocking, tackling, doing all the basic. And he said, we can beat them with our third stringer. And guess what? They beat us by 14.
Let's talk about the Mueller Auto Group, a game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships with locations in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. And again, it goes back to the quarterback.
We got out of the plane to fly to Baltimore.
Yeah.
That was the game-changing moment.
Well, and the interception.
Well, the interception has to be the point. And again, we're kind of backed up in our end, and you can't throw that ball. You can't throw it late. You cannot throw that ball late. And again, it was, you said it when it happened. Essentially, that was a potential 14-point swing. What was the difference in the game? And they get seven and two plays, and we get zero.
And if you want to blame somebody, there's only one person to blame. That's our quarterback.
Yep.
That's it. Not the coaches, not the offensive line, the running back, the receivers, whoever. Blame him.
And Odunze was targeted 10 times. Obviously, he has kind of started eyeballing Odunze. The other part about that is, if you're eyeballing him, you have no excuse of being late. When he makes that cut and he starts cutting across on that slant, you got to put it on him. And he was late, and, you know, it was play of the game.
Dan, this situation, this we should have won this football game. You know, sacks allowed. Baltimore, you know where they rank? They're tied for 31st. Third down percentage, Baltimore. They rank 27th. Red zone, they rank 28th. In other words, giving up touchdowns. Takeaways, they're tied for 29th. This is their defense. And you go through points per game, they're 32nd. Net yards per game, they're 30th. Net yards rushing, they're 26th. Net yards passing, they rank 28th. Scrimmage yards per play,
they're bad.
Rank 27th, folks. All these things that I wrote you. And they took us down quarter to quarter to quarter. And at the end of the game, it was game, set, match. We were not in this game. We were outcoached and we were outplayed. Dan, that's if I was to say what happened, outcoached, outplayed.
And I got to tell you something. Cincinnati loses to the Jets today. They're going to be mad as hornets when we see them next week in Cincinnati. It ain't going to get easier. So if this coach thinks, oh, well, we can wave a magic wand and all these penalties go away, a quarterback being late on his reads going to go away, pass blocking's, you know, going to get better, then they got to start coaching better.
Dan, playing a 1-5 team with a quarterback that's been basically with six teams, come and gone, six times. He's never been a starter. I mean, a legitimate starter. And he's a backup that's bounced all over this league. And he takes us down?
Yeah, my question to you guys is this. And we watch every week the first drive, the first couple of drives. They look very smooth. And obviously these are the scripted plays that they practice during the week. And Caleb looks on time. And Caleb looks like he's throwing the running ball like we've been talking about. He put a couple right on the money in that first in the first two drives. And again, they didn't end up in touchdowns. But the frustrating thing then is to watch what transpires the rest of the game and why that is so much different than the guys that the things that they have practiced during the week.
You're exactly right. And you know, the old scripted play started years ago by the 49ers. It looks like the offense has a certain confidence and a groove. After that sequence is over, after the first two drives, we went punt, miss field goal, punt for the next 40 minutes of the football game. Think about that. The next 40 minutes, a punt, a missed field goal, and another punt. Finally, in the fourth quarter, we score a touchdown. Then we throw the interception, then come up with that lame field goal at the end. It was, again, it was an offense never in rhythm after the opening two sequences. But so much of what happens the rest of the game has to go back how you finish those opening drives.
Who's teaching these kids, Dan?
Well,
that to me is the point of what's happening with the Bears. It's on the coaches. You can blame the players so far, but my God, who's giving them the direction? Who's giving them the play-by-play offensively and defensively, when to blitz, when not to blitz, over and under line moves, all these different things? Who is it? It's the coaches. It's the coaches, and we go down and play a 1-5 team, and they shove it down our throats? Who? I'm not going to blame the players, Dan. I'm blaming the coaches.
Well, if you wanted some names, Declan Doyle is the offensive coordinator, which, to me—
You mean he thinks he is.
He thinks he is, obviously. Ben Johnson is really— But JT Barrett is the quarterback coach, and— Evidently, we're not getting a whole lot of improvement on a game-to-game-to-game basis from our quarterback. Was he any better today than the opening week against the Minnesota Vikings? I didn't see any improvement. I haven't seen it all year. You made a big stink about it in the pregame. His completion ratio is low. His quarterback rating is low. All those different things.
It's in the 50s.
Well, and again, it has to be they're not connecting. Now, remember the big picture. The first thing that happened when Ben Johnson came, he said, we're going to change everything. We're going to do a lot more under center. We're going to do a lot more play action. We're going to be doing a – and
they run from the shotgun.
And Caleb, obviously, sometimes you get into in the middle of a season like this, you can't redesign the wheel. You got to go where the wheel wants to roll. Maybe he has to start thinking, we'll get into that, you know, under center 12 offense next year. Right now, I need to find a way to make our quarterback not only play better, but play with more confidence. He's late with the ball. That means trouble.
Danny, there's 31 coaches on the Chicago Bears from top to bottom. 31 coaches. You mean to tell me we go and play a 1-5 team and they throw us around like we're a bunch of bad puppies and we lose the football game with 31 coaches?
30-16, the final. Ravens over the Bears, 312-981-7200.
We got 31 coaches and very few answers.
I've been admitting a few shortcomings on those goal line situations.
Well, it helps if your quarterback doesn't get in a fetal position before he tries to go, you know, across the goal line.
That would help. That would certainly help.
It wasn't very impressive. You know, and earlier we had a caller. And, folks, if you want to chime in, give us a call.
312-981-7200, 312-981-7200.
About Tyson Bagent. And, you know, obviously, in a real world, if this was a situation where if we win this game, we are in the playoffs, you would have to think that at some point they would be contemplating that. Now, will that ever happen? I don't foresee it for so many reasons. And remember, Ryan Poles hired Ben Johnson. Technically, he's supposed to have hired Ben Johnson. But Ben Johnson is not going to pull the plug on Ryan Poles' prized possession, his first overall pick. And if you bench Caleb Williams for any reason.
For a kid not drafted.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, then everything that what you think is, you know, prized, you know, in Bear footballdom is up for grabs. And I just can't foresee that happening. However, would Tyson Bagent been a better choice today? Who knows? I'm just telling you, we have seen Tyson progress so much that I, you know, if Caleb gets nicked up, nobody's holding their breath when Bagent goes in the game. Nobody.
312-981-7200. Sam is getting some of those calls lined up for us here. 30-16, once again, the final.
Danny, do you ever think that they would pull him? I'm talking about Caleb Williams. You think that Ben Johnson would ever pull him?
Well, if he throws three interceptions in the first half, maybe. But again, when that moment comes, then there's going to be all hell break loose. You know it, and I know it. But let's also kind of, you know, put some other blame elsewhere. Okay, that, you know, everybody's saying, well, this offense worked so well in Detroit. They had so many components that were really, really good. The offensive line, blah, blah, blah. But have you ever watched the Detroit offense, those receivers, Jameson and St. Brown, how hard they run their pass routes? I'm watching our receivers, they're kind of going like, oh, three-quarter speed. You know, kind of like gliding, making sure. It's almost like they're in a 9-on-7 drill. It's not like as hard as they can run. And if you want to be great, if you want to be something special, then you're going to have to find a way to, you know, kick it up. And again, you know, there's a lot of reasons and a lot of blame to go around, but the quarterback has got to play better. But if these receivers cannot get open because they're not running their routes at 100%, then that starts to get in the back of the quarterback's mind. And that's why he's maybe, you know, holding the ball a little bit, waiting for separation that never appears.
Yeah, and that's the thing to me, too. Just looking at the offense that Ben Johnson ran in Detroit, just the level of talent is different than it is here. And it's not that it can't develop here. It's just that it was a little more advanced in Detroit.
Well, but again, I'm watching.
We're forgetting who's the head coach there.
Yeah,
that's a no nonsense head coach,
Dan Campbell.
He puts up with you screw up, you're gone.
Yep.
Yeah. At some point, everybody has to be analyzed and evaluated. I'm watching over here. CeeDee Lamb's back for the Cowboys. George Pickens has been unstoppable in his absence. I'm watching these guys. They're running routes, fighting, slamming the corner off of them, getting open, giving themselves an opportunity. I don't see our guys doing that. It's almost like they kind of get in the route and kind of run it. We had everywhere. We need to be more physical at the line of scrimmage, in our routes, with the receivers, our linebackers, our tackling, everything. We are not a tough football team. And I believe that is why John Harbaugh said, Bears, 4-2, no worries, we'll win.
Well, you know what, Danny? You sit here and you look at red zone TDs, okay? And in other words, the Ravens, their defense, stopping people from scoring touchdowns. You know where they rank, folks? They rank 28. There's only 32 teams in the league. So once you get down in the red zone, you can score on them. You can score on them. What do? We didn't do it.
Kick field goals.
We didn't do it. But that's where they rank. That's where they rank.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we made so much of during the week that, with the injury situation with Lamar Jackson, how the Ravens kind of fudged it a little bit and were making everybody think that, Lamar Jackson practiced in full on Friday, even though he ran scout team, which really isn't technically practicing full. The league's going to look into it. And obviously, in hindsight, it doesn't matter at this point, but I think you're right. I mean, they kind of looked ahead and said, all right, well, we can probably get by this game and let's wait for a conference game where it means something on national TV.
He had some onions to do that. I'm telling you, because if they go 1-6, it's virtually over. We looked at the schedule, and we're not worried about where the Ravens are going. I'm just telling you, the way they approached this game tells you a lot. And I wrote down, in the pregame, I don't think I looked at it and said it. But to me, I think our coaches have over-evaluated this team and our performance thus far. And they were pretty, sure that we're going to be, pretty good. And, they did not seem concerned about the Baltimore Ravens today. And guess what? That's, you can't do that. You have to expect every team to be a fist fight. And then when it's 28-3 in the fourth quarter, then you can kind of relax. We didn't. And we did not anticipate the effort that they were, going to have to deal with. And the Ravens, they wanted it more. They coached harder. They played harder.
Well, I'll tell you what, Danny, you look at these stats of the Ravens, their defense. My God, folks, they rank in the bottom. If they're not 27th, they're 28th, they're 29th, they're 30th, 31st, 32nd, in almost every category that you could think of. And we can't score on them. We can't score on them. And we're a 4-2 team going down and playing a 1-5 team with a backup quarterback that nobody ever heard of and hardly ever gets to play. And he takes us down? Folks, what happened out there today, you talk about embarrassing to this coaching staff and to the players, but especially the coaching staff. How the hell can you not set up an offensive game plan to attack a 1-5 team who defensively, they're almost dead last in every category? Facts, these stats, these numbers don't lie. And that's exactly what the hell happened out there. We're paying these guys millions of dollars. Paying a quarterback, what is he making? $25 million signing bonus, about $18 million. We're paying offensive linemen, what, $20 million, $30, $40, $50 million. Folks, this is insanity.
It's unacceptable. And here's the thing, OB.
You're damn right it is unacceptable. And I'm sorry if I'm overloading on it, but I really don't give a damn because those are facts. And facts don't lie.
And the facts are that for the first six games, we had scored at least 21 points, which the Bears hadn't done in a long time. Well, guess what? that horrible defense you just gave all the stats, the facts, they held us to 16.
Yeah. Dan,
because we were not prepared.
You can't. Yeah, exactly. And who was that the reflection on? Which I said. That's what I said last week and a week before. Who? It hit me right between the eyes. Who? Why are we bad? Why? Player? No. Coaches, that's our problem.
30-16, final, Ravens over the Bears. We'll take a timeout here for the news. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We'll be with you until 5:30 this evening. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Now, back to the Camp and OB Show, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Bears lose 30-16. Hampton will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Bears go to 4-3. Ravens go to 2-5. Up next for the Bears next week, a game at Cincinnati, and that's going to be an ugly one because the Bengals lost to the Jets today, 39-38, so there are no more winless teams in the National Football League. Justin Fields and his Jets get a one-point win on the road against Joe Flacco and the Cincinnati Bengals. That's where the Bears will be next weekend. So it gets no easier, as we say, every week
thanks,
in the NFL.
Thanks, Justin. Getting them stirred up now.
Yeah, isn't that nice of him? So 30-16, the final here. Ravens over the Bears, 312-981-7200. What do you say we head back out to get some of the fans' perspective on things today? Let's go out to McHenry and say hi to Bob. Bob, you're up with Hampton OB. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Hi, gentlemen. And when I say gentlemen, I've had the good fortune of having conversations with both of you guys, and I don't use that term loosely, but anyway, just a quick observation. I'm watching the game today, and the announcers, when they're getting ready to go to break, they go, "We'll be back in a few minutes." After these words from our sponsors, you are watching the NFL on CBS, and I'm thinking to myself, this is the NFL. It's not the league I grew up in, know and love. You know, I mean, when going to Baltimore meant you're going to take on the Colts at Memorial Stadium with the likes of Johnny U and John Mackey and Lenny Moore, and I can go on and on. But anyway, where's the meanness in these guys today? I mean, you know, back then it was a war. Yeah, when you played, it was a war, too. I mean, you know, I could have watched the Leave It to Beaver marathon on WeTV today. I mean, that game was, I can't take any more.
I'll tell you what, anyway, Bob. Let me just give you a quick answer right now. If you see, you understand the word aggressive, okay? And if any sport, anywhere, where the word aggressive and the totally complete meaning of it truly is front and center, it's football. I don't care what level. And you've got to attack. You've got to be aggressive, offensively and defensively. And guess what? In this game today, the Ravens' defense is god-awful. No matter, net yards rushing, passing, whatever, they rank near the bottom across the board, okay? We should have taken advantage of that. And why we didn't? Because we were not aggressive. How many times did you see us try to go deep down the field today in four quarters? How many times? What did we throw? Two passes? One for 20-some yards, and I think one for 30, maybe, Andy, something like that. We don't attack down the field. And until we do, like, we shouldn't have went after that quarterback, that kid that has been in the league 5 years and has been with six teams, and he's a backup, and he takes us to school? He takes us to school? And outplays us, outthinks us for four quarters. We lose this game to a 1-5 team.
And I got to tell you, Bob, you know, the lack of violent activity by our defensive line. You know, we gave Grady Jarrett, you know, a big money to come here. Odingbo, Montez Sweat. What did they do today? I mean, on the snap of the ball, they stand up and they start titty fighting. And the next thing you know, the ball's off or the running back's by them. They're virtually useless. And at some point, you would think it's so glaringly obvious, you know, playing defensive line, you got to be low and violent. And we're neither. And there's no, you know, wonderment in my mind about why we're not very good on defense, because, you know, and I mentioned this earlier, our top three corners were out of this game, and these backup guys, they can only do so much. You'd expect the front seven to accept the challenge, step up. The linebackers were invisible. The defensive line was non-existent. And your point about, you know, getting after people, playing the game violently, we don't. You know, it's just a bunch of banging around and, you know, arm tackles. It's just but let me just say this. You look around the five or six teams around the league that have the best record and that nobody wants to play, they get after you at the line of scrimmage. And that's something we've got to find a way to impress upon not only the coaches, but the players. It's not good enough. You got to be better.
Dan, defensively, why did our defensive line, they snap at a ball, they run right into the guard or the tackle.
Stand up and run
right in front of them. That's what they do, Dan. Why don't we come? Why can't the defensive coaches come up and move the line over one player to the stronger, to the weak side? Why can't we do line tricks between the tackles and the defensive ends? Why can't we blitz with our middle linebacker, our weak side linebacker, and our strong side linebacker with tricks in the line and get aggressive and go after people so a guy like Huntley can't take us down from week to week? Why don't we do it? You know what, folks? We don't do it. And if you want to know how the hell you win games, you be aggressive. You get creative. That's just don't have your guy play after play, your defensive tackles stand up, run into the guy in front of them. It ain't going to happen. You got to come with line tricks. You got to come with blitzes. And you got to come with over and under shifts constantly for four quarters if you want an aggressive defense and if you want to win in this damn National Football League. There's only 17 of these games. And I tell you, Danny, you mean to tell me our defensive coordinator and our defensive line coach, our linebackers, you mean to tell me they can't think of this? You think Ben Johnson, he can't think of this? We don't do it, folks. Look at the film and see what I just told you. We run straight into the guys in front of us.
Let's get in another call here really quick before we get to our next timeout. Let's go out to Crystal Lake and say hi to Anthony. Anthony, you're up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Hamp and OB, hey, guys. Thanks for the call. Younger listener here. You know, I think the time for excuses and chances with Williams is over. You know, when's he going to put two or three good games together? You know, drafted number one overall, generational talent, sort of okay season. You know, you can say toxic coaching environment. You wipe that clean, bring in arguably the best staff there is. Okay, you know, doesn't start hot. First year, you know, basically year one again. You know, when's he going to string some games together? You mentioned Josh Allen earlier. They win because of him. You know, it's about time the Bears win because of Williams, and I haven't seen that yet. Thanks.
Well, I mean, there's very little to say other than agreement. The thing about this is, and again, we all thought for the last 6 months since Ben Johnson was hired that it was going to be a beautiful convergence of an ultra-talented quarterback, skill position galore, you know, first-round picks everywhere, and the improvement of the offensive line by spending $162.5 million to essentially rebuild it, that all of this and drafting a first-round tight end who only caught three balls today, all inconsequential. But at some point you thought, hey, this is it. It's going to be a lot better than what we've had to deal with.
Why hasn't he done it, Dan? You got first round picks at tight ends, at receivers, at running backs. Again, you mentioned $160-170 million. We brought in guys that have been all pro, played on Super Bowl teams, offensive line to fix that. And guess what? We're still stumbling along.
And that's the $64 million question. Why? Why hasn't he been able to put it together? And somehow, some way, you think, you know, I saw flashes last year where he was.
How many first-round picks does this kid have to have, Dan?
Well, that's the whole thing. You know, where is he hiding from? I mean, how you can't hide him anymore. You can't say it's the offensive line. You can't say it's the lack of receivers. You can't say this, that, blah, blah, blah. We got the smartest coach on planet Earth. When is it going to happen? I don't know. And I got to tell you, the clock's running out.
Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
Bears lose 30-16 to the Ravens today. Camp will be sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Not a whole lot to hang the hat on here today. First couple of drives decent, but only resulted in field goals. And pretty much from then on, it was Tyler Huntley and the Baltimore Ravens taking it right to the Bears. And a must-win for Baltimore and a 30-16 win over the Bears. And again, the Ravens will be up next against the Dolphins on Thursday. The Bears head to Cincinnati next week, and the Bengals were upset at home today by the previously winless New York Jets. So that should set up a good matchup.
Andy and Dan, just quickly here, and not to overbeat this thing, but I'll tell you what, their quarterback, Huntley, folks, we lost to this team with a quarterback who should thank God every day that he's in the National Football League. And it's a 1-5 team, and they – the game wasn't close. It wasn't close. They took us down. They took us down.
You know, speaking of Tyler Huntley, 17 completions on 22 attempts, a buck 86, but he had a touchdown and a QBR rating of 116.9. Caleb Williams, 25 of 38, 285 meaningless yards, one sack, one interception, and a quarterback rating of 77.2. So this backup had 40-point advantage in quarterback rating on ours.
Yep.
That makes you say, what's up here?
Well, they ran the ball down our throat, Dan. They ran for almost 180 yards.
Yep. Yeah, and again, we've talked about it. When your secondary is depleted, somebody's got to pick up the slack. Somebody's got to step up. Nobody did.
312-981-7200. Back out to the phones. Let's go to Orland Park. Amid, you are up with Hamp and OB. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Hamp, OB. Great show as always. Yeah, I just wanted to know a couple of questions. Just how come the Bears, like OB's told us before, that if Caleb's percentage for throwing the ball, the quarterback rating so low, how come they don't utilize the tight end? They only give them like 3 to 4 chances. And it'd be kind of common sense if they use the tight end as a big target. And if he gets more targets, then his quarterback rating would be higher and Caleb would gain more confidence and we would be able to move the ball easy, especially in the second, third, and so on quarters after the scripted plays.
Well, today, Loveland, obviously, Kokomet was out, bad back. So, Colston Loveland, first-round pick, was targeted 5 times. He caught 3. Unfortunately, they really didn't amount to much. It was 38 yards. He had one 18-yard gain early in the game, first drive. But your point is something that OB has been beating the drum for the last 5 years. When you got a quarterback that has got issues and you're worried about a completion percentage, well, what's easier than the tight end right in front of him, right there in the middle of the field? And for whatever reason, it's almost like Ben Johnson has dictated this offense where the progression leaves the tight end at, 3 or 4 or 5 instead of being a primary target. And Caleb, for whatever reason, we know he's been eyeballing a lot, and you know, obviously, Dunze is eyeball number one, but the tight end has to be utilized more, OB. There's no question about it.
That's not even open for discussion, Dan. If you want a viable offense that's going to move the ball, score points from quarter to quarter to quarter, okay, and it's going to put you in a winning column, All right, you got to utilize your tight end. Just look at all the successful teams and take a look at their tight ends. And what's amazing to me is Ben Johnson came, offensive coordinator from Detroit. He's got Laporta, a tight end that he opens up the passing game and has helped Detroit become a winning team, a Super Bowl potential team every year. They're tight ends. They use them. He comes here. What happens?
Null amnesia.
It's unbelievable, folks. We have first-round tight ends, first-round receivers, first-round offensive linemen, running backs that are in the first round, a quarterback, number one taking the entire draft, and we lose to a 1-5 team. Now, when is somebody going to wake up, whether it's the coaches, the players, or the owner? Wake up. This is totally, completely unacceptable to go down and play a 1-5 team, and they take us and slap us around. It's a joke.
All right, I'll sneak one more in before the top of the hour here. Let's go out to Buffalo Grove and say, Cheryl, you're up with Hampton O'B. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey, I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but and I know people harp on it, but there is a legitimacy to the fact that the Bears every week not only play their opponents, they play the refs. There was an intentional grounding. Odunze was in the vicinity. That shouldn't have been intentional grounding. There was a missed helmet-to-helmet play that should have been called. There was a face mask that was missed that should have been called against the Ravens. So week after week after week, when you're being like targeted by the refs and your opponent, it's got to have a mental effect on the team. I don't know what you guys think about that, but it's getting to the point where it's noticeable every single game that there are ridiculous calls against the Bears. And then also non-calls. Caleb was almost killed on the sideline last week at home, and there was no roughing the on the quarterback. You know, like we breathe on their quarterback, and we get roughing the passer.
All right, Cheryl, thank you.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
All right, thank you for the call.
Cheryl, you make a lot of viable points, and let me just say this. Think back to the Commander game two games ago when they called Benedict
lining up incorrectly
for lining sagged off the ball when he wasn't, and Aikman woke up long enough to point out that it was a phantom call. But I got to tell you, this guy to my left here, he thinks the Bears get all the favorable calls. He thinks we get. But I'll tell you this, against the Saints, the officials gave them four first downs on defensive calls against us. And we would have stopped the Saints cold early, but, you know, so many bad calls by the officials gave them first down after first down.
All right, we got to take a time out and head into the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then more Hampton O'B, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers.
My partner throws me under the bus.
I heard it. He backed up to make sure, too. Hampton O'B, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Hey, football fans, he's back. Longtime sponsor, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich.
Vuk!
For all your auto, home, or business insurance needs, contact Vuk,
Vuk!
At jeffvuk.com. And remember, Nationwide is on your side.
Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois.
Hot rock.
Who brought it today? Looking at which Bear played tough, played hard.
And it is time for Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, the card to bring through it all. And as we were doing some digging, it appears as though there's one guy who can be credited with bringing it. That was Rome Odunze, 7 catches for 114 yards today.
But still, we expect a lot more. I mean, there was a couple of drops. You know, last week, a couple of drops, and it was a topic that, you know, Ben Johnson talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look around the league, you look at the number one receivers, they are difference makers. Rome has been good, not great, good. And, you know, hopefully we'll get more from him in the very near future.
30-16, it was the Ravens over the Bears. Hampton O'B, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and the Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. You know, I'm thinking about all the stuff that has been talked about with the coaching staff and Ben Johnson. To me, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'd love to get your thoughts about this, but Dennis Allen to me has been a little bit of a disappointment as far as scheme and what I thought we might be getting from a veteran kind of a guy to come in here with this group.
Our defense doesn't look like anything that we saw in New Orleans. And, you know, okay, he made a big deal that of all the defensive players he was excited about, you know, coaching, it was Kyler Gordon. And Kyler's only been active, I think, 2 weeks this entire yeah. season. Now he's on IR. All that being said, still, I keep looking, you know, with my palms up going, what is it? What is Ben Johnson talking about when he uses the term, a schematic advantage? I don't see it. And typically what that means is you put your players in a position to win. And that means get sacks, you know, force, lost yardage plays, all those different things. I've seen some turnovers, and the turnovers came off of interceptions almost exclusively not being forced by pressure. You know, back in my day, OB, you know, I'll never forget Mark Carrier, wonderful guy, great player. When he was a first-round draft pick, I said, you're going to like being here. You're going to be catching a lot of punts. And he goes, what are you talking about? I'm not a punter. I said, when we collapse the pocket, the quarterback knows if he takes a sack or two sacks, then we get kind of wild, and he's not going to take the sack. He's going to throw it up. And I think he set the rookie record with 10 or 11 10. Interceptions yep. that year. And typically that's what happens, OB. You know, great pressure forces errant throws where you get turnovers or batted balls or you know, deflections. These interceptions have essentially been just really good plays by the secondary jumping in front of receivers.
But they also, Dan, have to be put in the right position by their defensive coaches. Offense, we score. They got to be put in the right positions to score, whether it's via the run or via the pass. And have we seen it? After what is this now? How many games? Is this 7 games now, Andy? 7 games, folks. And we're going to start to play, again, some pretty tough teams coming up here on the road. This was a given this week, and what has been the other teams that we have played. And I'm going to tell you, and Danny, I sit and you look, you try to think, is it the offensive line, defensive line? Is it here? Is it the running backs, receivers? Who is it? This, again, and I've said it several times today, and I said it last week and the week before. I point the finger right at the coaches. I don't think we have as bad a talent that has been shown out on that field. I think the schemes have been wrong offensively, and the schemes have been wrong defensively. Why? We don't score points. We don't convert on third downs. And defensively, we don't get sacks, and we can't stop anybody when it counts.
Think about this, Andy. You made a point during one of the breaks that Ben Johnson is still the play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Now, early stages of the game, it's gone okay. Mm-hmm. We've scored a opening touchdown on the opening drive, I think 4 out of the 7 games. We scored, you know, on the 2 early drives, then went to sleep for a half. But here's what your point was. Okay, calling plays is great, but then when the defense is out there, you got to watch and see what's going on, because yep. you got to be on top of, you know, certain calls. If there's has to be a challenge, if the defense is got issues, this and that, he's out there watching that instead of going over and talking to the quarterback, talking to the running back coach, you know, talking to the offensive line coach, saying, why can't we get this stretch play? You know, why can't we get this part of the, you know, offense moving? Well, he can't do that nope. because he's, you know, pre-obsessed with making sure he's doing his head coaching job, which is watching the play on the field. Somehow, some way, he may have to make some adjustments.
Well, Dan, the adjustments got to be right in front of you, and you got to make them now, not later. It's got to be when you make an adjustment, there's something going wrong with the defensive line or the linebackers or somebody, or your scheme is not working. You've got to have the ability to turn it on a dime, you know. And why? You know, the game is what, 2.5-3 hours long, 4 quarters, 15 minutes, and there's only 17 of these games. You can't be worried about, well, we'll get to it next week. We'll do that. You got to do it on the run. You got to have the know-how and the wherewithal to get it done. And how do you get it done? You get it done by practicing when you bring the players in the off season, and you practice and you play them in the exhibition season. So you get them ready for the season. So you don't see what the hell happened here today. We lose to a 1-5 team with a quarterback 5 years has been with six teams, basically. Are you kidding me? Who almost never plays? And we're supposed to have the sharpest quarterback, young quarterback on the planet? And we were never in this game. That kid outplayed our quarterback. Their team outplayed our team. And we got outcoached. That's exactly what happened today. Number one, Andy and Dan, my mind, what happened? Number one, if you were to pick one thing, it's we got outcoached. Period. Outcoached.